Father, I just thank you and I praise you tonight for your word. I thank you for being with us tonight and all those that came out to sit in your presence, Father. I'm just asking a special touch be given to them. Lift them up, Father God, above the beggarly elements of this world and seat them in heavenly places, Father. And Father God, let us learn to trust you with our whole hearts and never give in to the attacks of the evil one. And Father God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about who is the Holy Spirit. Because God did show me that the problem of body crisis, you don't really have the Holy Spirit in his fullness. And you aren't calling upon the Holy Spirit to help you through your trying times. And until you get the Holy Spirit in his fullness and start relying on him, you're going to have battles. And, you know, I'm still totally shocked at how people sit in the house of God and they're hateful and ignorant to their children, their spouses. But yet they want God to bless them. God doesn't bless a mess. You have to know, he does not bless a mess. If you claim to be a child of God, then you should be loving and caring and compassionate, and you should be long-suffering, and you should understand that God is in control of all things. I don't know about you, but, you know, whenever Brother Aaron said, you know, I'm done with this, if you're living with somebody who is always angry and bitter, I'd get as far away from them as I could possibly get. Because they're only going to pull you down and they're going to destroy you. I don't care who it is. God doesn't mean for us to live with people who are angry and bitter and always coming against you and never walking in love. You have to understand too that whenever you're that type of person, you're giving yourself into demonic forces that are ruling and reigning within you, and those demonic forces are trying to destroy you. With demonic forces, they don't only try to destroy you; they just try to destroy everybody around about you. So, I just want you really to think about this. And is it really time to separate yourself from an angry, hateful, bitter person before they take you out? I really want you to think about this. Because we know the darkness is dark. If you're not fully walking in the Holy Spirit, you don't have enough light to overcome that darkness. Are you understanding this? I'm just going to give an example here. Walking in the Spirit, last night I was cleaning my study and I had my dust rag in my hand and somehow or other knocked over a half a gallon of juice. It was running over my floor. And I was trying to get it cleaned up real quick before it went into the carpet. And I got a phone call and somebody needed deliverance. I immediately went into deliverance and God moved. Now see, if I wouldn't be walking fully in the Holy Spirit, that would have never happened. The Bible says be instant in season and out of season. I'd have been so frustrated over trying to get all the sticky juice up that I think, my goodness, I don't want to fool around with doing a deliverance. Are you understanding this? And believe it or not, when I got off the phone, the dog licked it all up. See, I was taking care of God's business and he took care of my business. So anyhow, I wasn't frustrated about knocking over the juice. I said, how in the world did I ever do that? Make myself more work, you know. All right, let's go to John chapter 16, verse 1. Jesus speaking, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Who will not come? The Helper. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth, first of all was a helper, now the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. Now he'll guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, just like Jesus didn't. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he's going to hear from the Father. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. These are all the things that the Holy Spirit will do for you if you truly are walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you, and he speaks to your spirit. He will lead you, he will guide you, and he speaks to your spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So he says in Acts 1, 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses for him. Isn't that what he just said? Come on. This is why you're not a witness for God, is because you don't have the Holy Spirit in his power. And so you're not a witness, and people just look at you like you're crazy. A life of abundant power. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So if you're walking with God, you should have life abundantly. Now, I didn't say you should have a big mansion, 10 cars in your driveway. You should have life abundantly. That's walking in the Spirit. And then John 4, verse 13, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Remember, she was at the well. And they were talking about regular water. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Let's read that again. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up in eternal life. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, that water is not going to well up inside of you. So many times over the years, whenever I pray for people, and I can tell they are about as religious as they can be. I always laid hands on the stomach and broke up the dam that was holding those living waters back. People sit in church for year upon year upon year, and they still don't have the Holy Spirit. They think because they shout and jump and do something dumb that that's the Holy Spirit, and it's not. And if you really listen to people when they're shouting, you'll know whether it's not their flesh or if it's a spirit. And a lot of people that are shouting think it's a spirit when all along it's their flesh acting out. Now, here we go. Some of you are already under condemnation. That's your problem, not mine. All right, then. He will teach you. This is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. What's the Holy Spirit do? He teaches you, and he brings all things to your remembrance. In John 14, 25, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking to the disciples now. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God, Jesus says right here that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance that God has said to you. Now, how many of you, some days you're just sitting around and all of a sudden you start hearing what God has spoken over your life? That's the Holy Spirit, because at that point you need to be remembered what God has spoken to you, because the Holy Spirit knows you're about ready to do something really dumb. So he brings back to your remembrance the things that God has spoken to you to encourage you and to bring you forth so you won't go off course. You know, just like today, you know, the member of the family had liver cancer and they were dying. And they said, you know, he wants you to pray for him. So I sat down to pray. And God said, how did he say that? Well, anyhow, I forgot what he said. But anyhow, being dead was better than being alive. I can't remember. But he gave me that verse. I wrote it down at home. And so I didn't pray. I just said, thank you, God, that he's going to go be in your arms. And he died a couple hours later. But see, they wanted me to pray that he would live and, you know, that God would perform a miracle. But God didn't want to do that. And he wanted to go ahead and take him on home, and which he did. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit couldn't have told me that. I can't remember that scripture. It was a scripture. And I'd have went ahead and prayed the way they wanted me to pray, and it would have been all for naught. Are you understanding that? Sometimes we ask for things that we shouldn't be. What God said, we pray amiss. We're asking God to do things he really does not want to do, because we're not led by the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is not telling you, no, don't do that, and telling you what to do. And I really put this together because God did tell me that you guys, the reason why you're having all the troubles you're having is because you're not walking in the Spirit to its fullness. If you're not walking in the Spirit to its fullness, you're just going to struggle and struggle and struggle. You're never going to have victory the way God wants us to have victory. I didn't say we wouldn't have problems. I said you're going to struggle when the problems come. Are you listening here? I want each one of you now to really, really watch yourself and determine, am I in the Spirit or am I not? Sometimes when I watch people prophesy and I know that they have a sin nature, I'll say, God, are they prophesying through the Spirit? Are they prophesying through the psychic realm? Are you listening? Because this happens, because God told me that. So you have to be walking in the Spirit, and don't say anything unless you hear it, and God is directing you to say it. Now, the other night when I asked the two ladies to get up off the floor, and they didn't really want to get up because they were enjoying themselves with God, you know, they got up, and then, you know, God told me exactly what he wanted to do with them. With the people, and they both did what God wanted them to do, and God was teaching them boldness so that you could go forth and be bold outside the four walls. Now, if I'm not in the Spirit, then God can't talk to me and tell me to do things like that. You understand in this? But if I just up and say, well, so-and-so, you did this, that, and the other, it would not be in the Spirit, and it would not accomplish anything. So you have to make sure you're always walking in the Spirit, and it's the Spirit of God directing you to do things. All right. The Holy Spirit will cause you to live a life of abundant love. The Holy Spirit will cause you to live a life of abundant peace. The Holy Spirit will cause you to live a life of abundant goodness. The Holy Spirit will cause you to live a life of abundant faith. He will cause you to live a life of abundant meekness. The Holy Spirit will cause you to live a life of abundant self-control. It is also a life of abundant joy. You don't have any self-control. It's because you don't have the Holy Spirit in its fullness. I don't care if you laid on the floor and cried for 10 hours. That doesn't mean you're full of the Holy Spirit. That means Jesus was going 10 hours of conviction. And a lot of people think, well, I laid on the floor and cried for so many hours, therefore I'm full of the Holy Spirit. And that's not true. God was just convicting you and trying to get you out of the mess that you were in. Now, Charles G. Finney was so filled with the power. Now, just Look at this. Charles G. Finney was so filled with the power of the Spirit that when he entered a meal, the workers fell on their knees in tears before the evangelist before he ever spoke a word. See that? Catherine Kuhlman, she'd walk out of her hotel room and everybody that was in the hallway would fall out in the Spirit because she walked in the abundance of the power of the Holy Spirit. Most of the church body of Christ, when people, they go by people, they fall out all right because of the odor on your body. I'm just joking. but, you know, isn't it a shame that that doesn't happen with us? Somebody that said, I was on our house, he said, asked Johnny, what kind of church does she have anyhow? And he said, Pentecostal. And he said, you know, I don't know why, but I just felt like I have to go there. So see, what is it? It was the power of the Holy Spirit now. And I know he's going to come. It's drawing him to God. It's not me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he's the same person who said, don't get mom mad. And don't get in her way if she's mad. All right. What causes me to be upset? Righteous anger. God said that's righteous anger. And you have a right to be angry with what they're doing. So that's righteous anger. But I don't do with hate. But they do know I mean business, right? Come on. A couple of you knew that I meant business the other day. When my computer wouldn't work, I had enough of that mess. Amen. And I'll be right there. But I had to get my righteous indignation going in order to get my computer fixed. Are you understanding this? It wasn't, you know, I was being ignorant. I just needed to have something to work with. Now, the power of abundant life is not confined to the preaching of God's word. God gives power in prayer, in testimony, in song, even in suffering and affliction. Come on. God gives power in prayer, in testimony, in song, even in suffering and affliction. How many of you prayed and just something came over and you knew that God was answering that prayer? You just knew it. And that's the Holy Spirit moving upon you to let you know that your prayers are being answered. You won't have to memorize the Bible. The Holy Spirit will bring it forth. You know, I don't know if you're like me. I cannot memorize the Bible, but whenever it needed, you know, if you read your word, it's in there, right? And when God needs to pull it forth, the Holy Spirit will pull it forth, and you won't have to memorize it. Now, I'm not saying don't memorize the word, because I think that's wonderful. But if you can't, don't feel like I always did. I felt like I was letting God down. But it was in there, and he pulls it out when he needs it. Now, how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, if they repented and were baptized, and John the Baptist said, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself, and with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. It did not say through the people that were saved. It was done through the apostles. All right? Everybody that repents and gets baptized, I can tell you right now, is not instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. I bet and some of you are too. You've been baptized at least 10 times. Every church you went into, they made you get baptized. And all they did was dunk me in water to come out. Instead of going, I went in dry and come out wet. But I never had the Holy Spirit. right? Now, if anyone repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins, then God will fulfill his promise. If anyone repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of his sins, then God will fulfill his promise. Therefore, the person who doubts that he has received the gift of the Holy Spirit needs to ask only one question. Have I turned away from my sins with an honest heart? And am I trusting not in my own works, but in Jesus Christ as my sin bearer and Savior? Therefore, the person who doubts that he has received the gift of the Holy Spirit needs to ask only one question. Have I turned away from my sins with an honest heart? And am I trusting not in my own works, but in Jesus Christ as my sin bearer and Savior? I've watched some of you give a really good message, and I've watched some of you prophesy over people, but I can tell you right now that you are not full of the Spirit. I watch your fruit, but without even watching your fruit, I can just tell by the way you minister that you're not full of the Spirit. But I always ask God to cover everybody in this church and not allow anything that's not of God to enter into the people. But I'm a little bit tired of having to constantly pray that prayer, because I think every one of you need to get yourself full of the Holy Spirit. And then whenever you minister, it will be through the Holy Spirit and not your flesh. Come on. The only way you're going to get the glory is if you're full of the Spirit. No other way. If we have never honestly repented or have never simply believed in Jesus Christ, then we have not received the Spirit. If we have never honestly repented or have never simply believed in Jesus Christ, then we have not received the Spirit. And Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, period. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Some people repent partway. They don't really repent the whole way, and they continue to go back into their sin nature. We have to repent from the very depths of our heart and cry out to God so we can be set free. I'm going to share something about the deliverance I did last night, because it's important here. When the person called, and God immediately said, you need to do a deliverance. And then what I said during the deliverance, I said, God, he came to you, now set him free. In other words, he came to the pastor who has God, and the God in me set him free. Are you understanding this? The freedom would not have come if the Holy Spirit wouldn't dwell richly inside of me. And I'm not bragging about myself. You got to go back and read. Paul told what happened to him too. So did Peter. But I want to let you know that when people cry out to you, the Holy Spirit has to be richly inside of you. And then that God that's in there will set that person free. This is why in deliverances you don't see people set free, because the Holy Spirit cannot dwell richly with sin. And there's still a sin nature inside of the people that's doing the deliverance, and the Holy Spirit can't do the works he desires to do in all its fullness. Now, do you want to be a glory carrier? Do you not? Do you just want the fame and the fortune, or do you want to really be humble and submissive to God and be a glory carrier, but never go around bragging about it? Romans 8:9, he was talking to the people and who were saved. He says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Think about that. Are you in the Spirit or are you in the flesh? Now, there is no condemnation here. Now, I'm teaching you something. Now, you can get upset with me, you can get upset with God, and you can go home and just beat the wall. I don't care what you do, but if you're really a child of God and want the Spirit of God fully, you'll say, thank you, Father, for showing me the error of my way. And thank you for showing me what I need to do to be a glory carrier for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Where is the Holy Spirit? Within you, whom you have from God. Where did the Holy Spirit come from? God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. I was totally shocked today. A lot of people are into perversion. And I see people who, you know, for quite a few years are going through deliverance and still in perversion. But then I got this email from those tapes we showed. I forgot the name of them. And they say it takes 5 to 10 years to get free from perversion. That's terrible. Look what you did. It took you 10 minutes to get involved, get hooked. In 5 to 10 years, get yourself set free. And you serve that God that bound you up in 10 minutes. And you curse the God that's working to get you set free. Are you understanding this? I do all the time. My two boys, don't you dare look at pornography. Don't you dare do this. Don't you dare do that. And I explain to him, the devil will take you on a trip you don't want to go on. We need to be telling our children. We don't need to be doing it ourselves and then telling our kids they shouldn't do it, because that's a double-minded man and you mess your kids up. We need to be free so we can tell our kids what they should not be doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Did you listen to that? Let's listen to that again. Do you not? You know this. I've taught you this over and over again, but you have not yet comprehended it because you're still in sin. So don't sit there and act like you're all that in some. Because you've been taught this over and over again. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. He's going to destroy you because it says there you're his temple. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? Are you really understanding why you do the things you do? Are you understanding why you're still the hateful, ignorant person that you were before you were saved? The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he will not stay where he's not wanted. He will walk away, and he'll let you to your own devices. And there's too many sitting even in this house of God who have grieved the Holy Spirit, and so he's just walked away from you. If this is what you want, he says, go ahead and do your thing. Because I'm not going to push you, just like God's not going to push you, because the Holy Spirit comes from God. And Jesus taught in John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Why? That it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See that you can't do anything if you're not in the vine. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. See, there's your ifs. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's why things aren't done for you, because you don't follow the criteria that God just spoke there. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You're calling yourself a child of God, but you're not portraying Jesus Christ, right? So therefore, you're not one of God's disciples, according to his word. I'm hearing it's time you get out of your messed up situations. It's time you walk in the fullness of who you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. And it's time for you to quit playing your little games, because those little games are going to take you down into the dark abyss that you're not going to be able to get out of. Now, God is very harsh with this church, because we are a forerunner church and we are the refuge in the storm. We are a church that God wants to send people into that needs ministered to with love and compassion and grace through the Holy Spirit. And he can't do it if we're not the temples that we're supposed to be. Or you understand why he's so hard on us? He's been trying to grow us up for quite some time now, and there's still bottles laying around. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." And the him is Jesus. Now, the word abide means to stay and to remain in the place where you already are. Please, some of you, don't do that. Don't stay in the place you already are. This is all about changing. But the word abide means to stay, to remain in the place where you already are. Christ's word to the sinner is come, because he is out of Christ, the sinner is. But his word to the believer is abide or stay, because he is already and will be forever in Christ. Let's say that again. Christ's word to the sinner is come, because the sinner is out of Christ. But his word to the believer is abide or stay, because he is already and will be forever in Christ. But no man can be in Christ without having received the Holy Spirit. It is impossible, for he is the giver of the Spirit. In him is life, and the instant we are united to him by faith, we receive the Spirit. In him is life, and the instant we are united to him by faith, we receive the Spirit. I never, ever, since I've been born again, have called people up to be filled with the Spirit. Because I saw so much fake before I ever started preaching that I don't want to be one of those. You know, they rub you on the head and smack you on the head and say, ba, 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 boo, 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 now go down. You know, and then they knock you down. And that's not being filled with the Holy. Now you got the Spirit. No, you didn't. You got spit in the face and you got hit in the head. All right? You know, when the Holy Spirit hits you, he just flat hits you. And you know that you're full of the Spirit. I've lost my place. All right, a wire cannot be joined to a generator and not receive the electricity, right? The branch can no more be joined to the vine and not receive life than we can be joined to Christ by faith and not receive his great resurrection gift, the Holy Spirit. Always remember, repentance is not enough. You must also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must abide in the vine. Are you listening here, saints? You know, when we do deliverance, and when we do baptisms, we always pray beforehand and during really hard. God, when they come up out of this water, let them be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we bring them up, they're floating in the water. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what they do with that is up to them. you know, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit at that point, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit by staying in your sin nature. And the Holy Spirit's trying to warn you, don't do this, go this way, go that way, don't go that way. And you keep blocking out that voice of the Holy Spirit. He will leave you, and then you've lost him. And then you're back to being your sin nature again. Now, today I went to pray and I said, you are my father. I said to God, but here's what God said. I am more than your father. I am your all in all. I am the extended hand that you need. I am the drink of water when you thirst. I am the way maker when you think there is no possible way. I am the light at the end of the tunnel. I am your husband when you feel all alone. I am your friend. I am your brother, your sister, and your mother. I truly am your all in all, and all that you need is totally wrapped up in me. Fret not, be not dismayed, for I have already made a way in the wilderness, and I will always make a way of escape. When the enemy comes with his threats of destruction, look up, for I will be there with you, and I will uphold you. Wasn't that beautiful? You know, I was just finishing up, and I was just going to pray, and then God just interrupted me, and he just went ahead and said what he wanted to say. When I said, you're my father, I'm more than your father. I want each one of you to take that down in your spirit today. He's more than your father. He's all that you have need of. And he's filled you with his Holy Spirit so that he can use you to go forth and minister to the lost and the dying. He wants you, I keep saying this, but it's so true. He wants you instant in season, out of season. In other words, when you spill the juice, you can do a deliverance. You know, it's just, so you might be making a bed and somebody knocks on the door and they need prayer. And see, the only way you can stay instant in season is out of season is before the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can do anything he wants to, and no matter what you're doing, if he's in you, then he can use you and he can accomplish the works that God needs to have accomplished. The reason I'm hearing God said, the reason why you fret and worry so is because you don't yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You don't expect him to intervene and work on your behalf. And God said, what are you going to do with the Holy Spirit? Are you going to let him come? You going to let him come and abide within you? Are you going to let him to use your vessel, a vessel of honor that he can work through? Or are you going to continue down this slippery slope of destruction that you're on? The entire body of Christ needs to understand. You need the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus, when he went away, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm not going to let you without any comfort. You need somebody to lead, guide, and Jesus was leading, guiding, and directing us, right? Through his word. And then he said, when I have to go away, now it's my time. And you still need somebody to lead, guide, and direct you because we're a bunch of lost sheep, right? And we need a shepherd. And God sent the Holy Spirit. And that's why God pulled the Holy Spirit out of the churches about 10 years ago. He said, they walked over the blood of my son, Jesus, and they're grieving my Holy Spirit. And now I'm going to come back on the scene and I'm going to show them who God is. Now what God wants to do is he wants the Holy Spirit back in the church in its fullness so he can prepare the way for the second coming of his son, Jesus. So everything can be full circle around. Now, do you really want God to use you to minister to the lost and the dying through the Holy Spirit and not through your flesh and not through just what you know, but because you don't know anything, but the Holy Spirit knows all things. How many times you said, God, I don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit's going to have to pray here because I don't know what to pray. Or are you one of those people so intellectual that you can pray anytime, anywhere, out of your own mind, and it doesn't do anything except make you look like you're smart, but it doesn't accomplish anything. You can't be ashamed to say, I'm not hearing God, so I can't pray. That's what you should be saying. And you don't say anything unless the Holy Spirit's speaking. Maybe the Holy Spirit doesn't want to speak to that person right then and there. not maybe, there is times when the Holy Spirit, God has used the Holy Spirit to speak to people and direct them, and they keep pushing away, and finally they went, well, I need to hear from God. God said, nope, you haven't done the first thing I told you to do, and I'm not going to allow her to talk to you, you know, whoever you are, I'm not going to allow her to speak into your life. You don't always have a word from God. I'm sorry, I don't care who you are. You don't always have a word from God. And I know when I sit here, I look around, I don't always have a word for you people. But if God gives it to me, then I give it to you. I'm just not going to give you a word because you think you need to hear a word. Because sometimes you get messed up with the words you get. Because there's confusion mixed in with it. And it sends you into confusion. And then we have a mess in our hands. I don't care if you are a prophet. You don't have to prophesy 24/7. Because I'm sorry. God just isn't doing that right now. I don't know if he ever did it. Are you listening here? When I first opened these doors, now when God first opened these doors, it was packed up because people said there's a prophet in town. She knows everything about you. That they all came for a prophetic word, but God would only speak to maybe about six. And the place would be packed out. The rest of them went home. How come she didn't speak to me? Because God didn't want to. Are you listening? You don't have to speak to everybody that's in the room. I'm going to tell you that right now. And when you think you have to, then your pride is kicked in and you've let the Holy Spirit off somewhere. Well, that just messed somebody up too. This is what it's all about. It's all about getting you messed up so you can rethink what you're doing. And are you really walking in the Spirit? Or are you walking in the flesh? This is what the question is tonight. Where you at? Because God told me, he said, daughter, if they don't walk in the Spirit, I can't give them the glory either. If you walk over the Holy Spirit, you'll walk over the glory too. And God's glory is too important for him to let you walk all over it. All right. I've been concerned about why we're losing people in the church and why God hasn't dropped his glory. And I got my answer yesterday and I'm upset. I am upset. You've been under the anointing long enough. You shouldn't be backpedaling anywhere. You should be walking forward in all things. Don't sit there and think, well, you know, they're not doing right. Well, you know, you're not doing right either. I'm going to tell you right now. It's just not one or two. You need to quit worrying about what somebody else is doing. You need to start being concerned about what you're doing and where you're at. And what kind of anchor do you have hanging on you that's dragging the rest of the body of Christ down? All right. Did you get that tonight? I want to see some changes. I no longer want to see you walking in this half and half, half spirit and half flesh, because there is no such a thing. You have to walk in the Spirit 24/7. 24/7. Always. I was walking through my house the other day and I heard this house is in danger. And 2 days later I found out it is. So I've been doing some serious praying. But if I wasn't walking in the Spirit, I wouldn't have heard that. I would not have gotten forewarned. Are you listening? You people don't understand the importance of walking so close to God that people can't separate you from God. And you should be walking so close to God that God can tell you anything that he wants to about anybody, and you should be able to keep it to yourself and just do whatever God tells you to do about it. All right? We're going into some really rough waters. If you go in there in your flesh, you're going to drown. It won't be a good drowning. You'll be finished. So before you go into those rough waters, you need to really seek God's face with all your heart and make sure that you've repented, truly repented from the very depths of your toes, and that you want the Holy Spirit to fill you totally and completely so that he can use you to his fullness. I just read we're over in New Jersey, and I forgot whether two places right around here, they had a revival last weekend. I was upset. Why didn't we have a revival? All right. I want you to think about that. Why didn't we have a revival? God said the answer's in your prayer closet. The answer's in your prayer closet. And today, Barbara, as I was reading that article, that's why I sent you the article. As I was reading that article about perversion, God said that you need to start teaching the Aglow about women about perversion, because they're into perversion just as bad as men are, maybe worse. I don't know if you got it or not, but I sent it to you just late this afternoon. Women are just as messed up as men. And we need to quit thinking it's lopsided. It isn't lopsided. It's even over the board. Because women, I can guarantee you that your kids have looked at pornography already. And I can guarantee you it's got some of them messed up. See, you men should be free from that to the point where you can talk to your kids and tell them, this is what I did, and this is where it took me, and I don't want you to do it. You should have done that before they get into it. It's too late now. They're into it. And they're at an age where they're going to have to work their way out of it. And I really get on my kids about it. You need to get on your daughter about it. They see it and hear it everywhere. It pops up on their tablets. But I know Brother Chris Lynch, he has it fixed and nothing pops up. Are you understanding here? And see, if you're walking in the Spirit, you would know what your kids are doing all the time. When I say something, the kids are, well, why do you think I'm doing that? And I said, because God's showing me what you're doing. And you see, a parent, you should see what your kids are doing. We're supposed to train our kids in the way they should go, not have them train us. It really bothers me to see a child be so disrespectful to a parent, and the parent can't control them. God's going to make you hold you accountable for that one day when you stand before him. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll know how to handle your children. And you won't abuse them doing it either. You do it the right way. Well, God said he wants to fix what is wrong. So if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit the way you ought, God wants to fix that tonight. He wants to take out of you what's holding you back. And he wants to fill you totally and completely full of his Holy Spirit. And that's what I was waiting for him to tell me what we was going to do. And so that's what he's going to do tonight. He wants to fix you. Some of you are really wayward right now. You're walking so close to the line that in any given second you can lose your salvation because of your wayward ways. And you're putting on a face, trying to make everybody believe it's okay and you're okay and you're not. You know where you're at, and God wants you to allow him to fix you tonight. So the altar's open for that.